T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
This is Computer Talk with Tab, hosted by Eric Semmel of Tab Computer Systems. Interact by phone at 522-WTIC or 1-800-966-WTIC. You can email them in the studio at gethelp@tabinc.com or get help anytime at computertalkwithtab.com. Now, here's Eric.
And good morning. This is Computer Talk with Tab. I'm Eric, and I'm here all by myself, flying solo. On this 4th of July holiday. And Dave and Cheryl, hang on just a few seconds. I do want to update people on my TiVo saga, because believe it or not, it continues. And you would never think it could, but it does. So you might have recalled that I got a TiVo for myself for Christmas. I got it through committee, right? Told my wife it would be green. Just kidding. And we got it in, and two of the four tuners in the TiVo didn't work. So I called them, and they said they would send it back after spending all sorts of time on tech support. The moment I hung up with them, they turned off my existing TiVo, because if that's what they do. I had to call them back and say, don't turn off the one that's sort of working as I wait for the new one. And of course, they turned it back on, so I was able to use the two tuners. And they shipped the TiVo to the wrong address. I spent 3 months trying to figure out where the thing went, and they charged my credit card $300 for my not returning it. How do I return it? They shipped it to the wrong address. Then they shipped me another one. And I had that in place, and then I swapped it out and sent it back. And they promptly said they received my order, return of the defective unit, and shipped me another one. They shipped me another one instantly. Like, well, why'd you do that? So I had to call them up and say, what the heck are you guys doing? Why'd you ship me another one? And hit my credit card for that pre-guarantee to make sure that I'll return it. And of course, that third unit came to me, and I had to then. This happened just recently. It's June. Actually, it's July, guys. I'm still dealing with this TiVo issue since December or February, whenever it was. It seems like forever. So they've shipped it back, and they say they received that unit again, and they say a note on the email, we'll be turning around and shipping you another one. They haven't shipped me another one yet, but I just can't believe just how bad an IT company like TiVo has gotten. Their technology was so cool. They turned all of us 12 o'clock flashers into people who could actually record shows when we wanted to. But they cannot handle an RMA. They do not understand how to handle an RMA. So beware if you have to return something over there at TiVo. Good luck. Let's get to your calls. We're going to go to Dave in Goshen next. Dave, what's up?
Hi, good morning.
Morning.
I had it sounds like a simple problem. When I go online to Google, mm-hmm. And I'm going to type something in, I get a drop down of everything else I've ever been on there to search for, and I want to get rid of that. It's very annoying.
It must be a cache feature of some kind. What browser are you using?
The IE.
Internet Explorer. So I bet you it's a feature of that, or Google is keeping a record of where you've searched, which is what they do.
Uh-huh.
When you log in, do you see in the upper right-hand corner your name when you're in the Google?
I don't think that. Well, in the center, it just has my first name in the center.
Yeah, so they kind of know it's you.
Yeah.
So what they're doing is kind of saying, well, Dave, you always search for, I don't know, cats, and they keep putting up those cats for you to save you keystrokes. So I think it's within your Google account that you have to clear this cache, and you can go to your Google account, clear the cache, and tell them to stop doing this within your Google account, not within the browser itself. But if you click on that Dave, I think you can log in right there and go to your settings.
Mm-hmm. And I also have the Google Chrome on there, and it will happen on that drop down as well.
Exactly. If you look in the upper right hand corner of that browser, it probably has your name, and it lets you go.
I see it up there. Yeah.
Yeah, so you go to My Account. So this is how the Googleplex tracks Dave wherever you are.
I see.
Right? So they want to know what you're interested in, and they're going to track it. So you can go to your account and clear that cache.
Where would that account part be?
Well, you click on your name, Dave, there. So you click on your name. It's going to say, you have a blue box that says My Account.
Okay, I click click it on, it says guest, manage people, and close all your windows.
No, right there. It should say, you should have your picture. You said you had your picture. Well, you had your account right there in the upper right-hand corner.
Oh, that's when I immediately log on. I'm in.
You're in the browser, right? But does
It says, and then, you know, I've got all my stuff, you know, keepables across the top, and then the
right.
very top where you can either, you know, click it out and all says David.
Yeah, click on David, and it should give you the option to go right to your account from there. A blue box should come out.
Well, and there's a blue circle with my name and then my email.
So click on, right below that blue circle with your name and email, there should be a privacy click and a my account click. A blue box.
It's an edit person. No, that's not me.
No.
I don't know. And you're talking to Mr. Computer Illiterate.
It's okay. So. Half the battle is just making sure we're on the same page, literally.
Yeah.
You have to log into your account. And then when you log into your Google account, you can change how you want your settings to, and you can manage your Google activity, your account preferences, how it deals with these caches.
Uh-huh.
And you have to clear that. You know what we can probably do for you, Dave, is to put a link as to how to log in, because clearly you're not seeing the same thing I'm expecting you to see.
Okay.
But you need to manage your account and clear that cache and tell Google to stop tracking you.
Okay.
Actually, we might have a link here for you. Mike might have found one. Okay. Yep. How to clear unwanted autofill entries in Google. Yeah, we've got a perfect link for you.
Okay.
That we're going to put up there from PC World that might give you a direct explanation of how to deal with this. But I know it has to do with your cache because it's hanging on to your preferences. It's saying, hey, Dave,
yeah,
Dave likes this.
I mean, there's some, you know, I go on there a lot to check one thing or another, and, you know, they're just dropping down, and I said, yeah, this is annoying.
Well, yeah, and not to mention if you have your computer up and someone else sits down there and all those pre-filled information's up there, and they're like, hey, why is Dave looking into this? That's weird. Why is Dave looking into that?
Yeah.
Right? So, you know, you want to clear this information, you can do that.
So I get this on computertab.com?
Computertalkwithtab.com. Or our Facebook page. If you go to Facebook and like Tab Computer Systems, it'll be right there for you.
I don't know what Facebook is. I don't use it.
Smart man. Yeah, the old-fashioned website, the link should be there in a little while. It takes a little longer than usual, but it'll be there.
Okay, great. Thanks a lot. Appreciate
All right,
it.
Dave. You're welcome.
Happy holidays.
Yeah, you too.
Bye-bye.
Yeah, this account stuff, and it's kind of funny he says he has a hard time finding it because Google really does want to make it more difficult. They want you to kind of allow them to track you. Because that's how they make all their money. They want to know, they get to understand how old Dave is, his interests, and then they can market and advertise to you. And that's why the EU fined them $2 billion, because they're using their market edge there to compete unfairly with other folks who want to sell Dave's stuff. So what Google was doing was, like, if Dave liked to do searches for Canon cameras, let's say, and then he did a search somewhere else, Google would display Canon cameras that he could buy from their own advertisers that work or even through the Google store of some kind to give them a unfair advantage because they knew everything about Dave, everything he searched for, everything, all his hopes and dreams. Google knows it. So they know where you've been. Let's go to Cheryl in Prospect. Hey, Cheryl.
Good morning, Eric.
Morning.
I am having problems with listening to radio stations on my computer and on my internet radio. They constantly drop out on me.
Mm.
And I click on, you have to keep clicking the play button to get it to go. And I called Frontier about this because I was having difficulty, and they said my modem is fine and my speed is good because they did a speed test, and that's good.
Yep.
And they said it's even more than what I should have, but that's how it works, because sometimes it could drop even to half as much, so.
Lucky you, you've got more than they're paying for, huh?
I don't know. I'm probably paying for it somehow, but.
Yes, you are. So what are you using to listen to internet radio? What tool are you listening?
Depends upon the radio station. Some radio stations have their own.
Right, like iHeartRadio and that kind of stuff.
Well, but this particular one is a college station.
Mm.
And when you click, you know, and I click on the play button for it, I don't know what program it's in, but
it's on their website.
Yeah, it's on their website.
Yeah. So there's two people involved, you and the company that's streaming the music to you or the station to you. So it could be on their end too. We get occasionally we hear the same complaint even on our show here at WTIC, because sometimes you'll have weird delays or problems with the quote-unquote stream, right? Because
yes.
It has to do with either you on your end because you're downloading and your performance, or the streamer is having issues due to maybe too much capacity or too much demand on the stream. So you have to reach out to that site and say, hey, guys, why does your station keep cutting out? What can I do to improve it? And they'll either give you tips or they'll have an FAQ, a frequently asked questions area, as to how to improve the streaming. Or they'll say, yeah, we know. It's our streamer.
Mm.
Because basically what you're doing when you're streaming this is you're taking a chunk of data and streaming it right to you rather than broadcasting. Like we are broadcasting right now to many thousands of people all over the state, right? And we're not taking up any resources other than the airwaves. Well, streaming is taking up bandwidth. There's a lot of infrastructure involved. It's actually counterintuitive. It's affected by how many folks connect.
Right. I also have trouble even on my internet radio. I have trouble with TIC sometimes,
right.
too.
Yeah.
With it dropping out.
Yeah, it's a combination of both your quality of your internet provider. This is the cloud. This is how the cloud works. So instead of broadcasting truly is coming through the air, but the
right.
cloud is coming through somebody else's server sitting in a data center in some basement somewhere.
Yeah, I know, because I know it goes through the ionosphere for the radio signals.
Yeah.
And, you know, but the streaming goes through the cloud?
The streaming goes through somebody else's servers over the internet, over copper, over all sorts of old infrastructure, over fiber, over some great technologies and some really old, crappy technologies just to get to you. So there's a lot of points in between that can cause that problem. So you have to hit each of the folks you're listening to and say, hey, do you guys have any problems with your stream? Is there anything I can do? And it may not be anything you can do.
Mm.
It's just the nature of the technology still.
Alrighty, I'll try to go through them and look at the FAQs to see if they have any suggestions for why I'm having trouble with the streaming.
Yeah, and again, if you could also consider improving your bandwidth by maybe changing your provider, which means paying more.
Oh, I know. I don't want to change my provider. I don't like the other provider that's in my area, so.
Gotcha.
Yeah, so.
I understand, Joe.
Alrighty.
All right.
Okay, thank you, Eric.
You're welcome.
Yep.
Bye-bye. We're going to step out for a quick break. We got three lines open for you, 800-966-WTIC, 522-WTIC. We'll be right back. And we are back. This is Computer Talk with Tab. I'm Eric. I'm here flying solo today on this 4th of July weekend. And here to help you out with computer problems, comments, questions, and concerns. And two lines open, 800-966-WTIC, 522-WTIC. Real quick before we get to your calls, in the news you probably saw that there's been a recent ransomware attack again using the same technology that was used a few weeks ago in the WannaCry attack. And again, companies' stuff was encrypted. And there's some new news out there about what companies are doing. And this is from MIT, the Technology Review. We'll put a link up there for you. The headline, companies are stockpiling Bitcoin to pay off cyber criminals. And that's not good. Bitcoin and paying off cyber criminals, you're working in the dark web. And it is kind of a creepy place to work. However, the bad guys use Bitcoin for their currency because you don't know who they are. You can track the actual wallet. That's why you can hear some of these stories talk about how much money they're making. And the last two attacks didn't make a lot of money. The second one is actually seems to be more interested in just damaging companies. But more and more IT professionals are stocking Bitcoin so they can pay off. Many of them, including police departments, hospitals, are paying up rather than trying to deal with the issue. And they're doing it because basically the IT folks in charge of those companies are not doing good backups. So it's easier to pay the ransom to get your data back than to have a good backup in place. And that's exactly what this article talks about. Now, guys, that's really bad. You're encouraging these criminals if you keep paying them. Really, what you really need to do is do some basic disaster recovery analysis just to make sure you have a good backup. It's happening regularly. And if you have a good backup, you can get your data back. It's that simple. If it's encrypted, obviously you can't. So I'm going to put this link up here from MIT. And you don't want to work in the dark web. You don't want to work with paying creeps for having them trick you into encrypting your data. So a backup is the last thing you should have because, of course, if you have good security on the front end, the chances are less that you're going to even get encrypted. We support many hundreds of small businesses in Connecticut here, our company does. And again, for both of those attacks, not a single one of our clients were affected by it. And that's over 6,000 systems that were taken care of. So it's only because, you know, 95% of them have listened to what we've said as far as what you need to put in front to prevent the issue from occurring. There are a few that don't listen, but they're just an accident waiting to happen if they don't have the security in front to prevent folks from inadvertently clicking on things that are going to get you in trouble. So I'll put this link up here from MIT. It's what's happening out there. Our companies are a little too lazy out there to actually do the responsible thing and make sure your systems are ready to go rather than pay the ransom. Let's go to our resident groupie, Danny. Hey, Danny.
Hey, happy 4th.
You too.
The SBC Global, my wife has, you know, her email and her computer. We have Frontier's our carrier.
Yeah.
And she got that letter a while back. It says your AT&T Yahoo thing, and, you know, you won't be able to go to certain things. Is she going to lose her password over that or in her email account because of the Verizon?
Because of the change?
Yeah, because of the change.
It depends on what the letter says. We've heard of these letters coming out. The Verizon has taken over. Mm-hmm. I have a feeling you're going to be at Verizon.com now, correct?
Well, nothing's happened yet.
Eventually, you're going to be at Verizon.com.
Uh-huh.
So I think you're going to have to deal with that. And yes, you may have to change your password or update your account. But it shouldn't just lock you out of your system. They don't want to do that to you.
Oh, okay.
I mean, they're going to make the transition as smooth as they can.
Yeah. And if she wanted to buy a laptop,
yep.
What would you recommend?
I like the HP Envy for home use. You can take a look at those, you know, i7 or an i5. You can spend anywhere from $500 to $800 on different flavors of it.
Uh-huh.
But that's an HP Envy is a good laptop for college. We use them for our kids, and we're HP folks at Tab, so we recommend them all the time. But it's a good solid laptop.
Yeah, is that touchscreen too? As well as
yeah,
the
they
keyboard?
Are. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Now is that one where it's like a tablet and a laptop, or is it just a laptop?
It does flip, so the keyboard's behind. It can become like a tablet. Yes, mm-hmm. It's a little heavy for tablet use. It's not like you're a Samsung, Danny.
Yeah. Okay. And you know, SpaceX has got another launch tomorrow down at the Cape.
Yeah.
And it's the third one in 10 days.
Yeah, they're doing pretty good.
Yeah, they're cranking it.
All right, we got to go, Dan. Coming against a hard break. Have a good holiday.
Bye-bye.
All right, we'll be right back. This is Computer Talk with Tab. I'm Eric. I'm going to be here until 11 o'clock, and I want to thank you guys for joining us on this 4th of July weekend. And Ray Charles doing his best to belt it out, as he always does. So let's get to your calls. We're going to go to Donna in Enfield. Hey, Donna, what's up?
Oh, I had a question regarding, and I think I used the wrong terminology, net zero.
Oh,
I think I said Netgear, but I think it's net zero.
Mm-hmm.
It's one of those portable type of internet systems,
mm-hmm.
you know, a Wi-Fi or whatever it's called. I was just wondering what your opinion of it is cost-wise, security-wise, and speed-wise.
Well, net zero is very old. It was around in the even in the 90s. It was free internet service. That's why it was called Net Zero. But now it's not free anymore, right?
No. No, it isn't. I mean, they used to run specials. You could see ads on TV and stuff. But I was just curious as to what your opinion is of that particular Wi-Fi system, you know?
Yeah, so I don't know. Do you have other cellular services in your home? Do you use Verizon? Do you use AT&T for your cell phones?
Well, my cell phone is Verizon, but mm-hmm. that's a separate thing because it's not, you know, it's a work phone. But the others are through Frontier.
Okay. Do you have cell phones with Frontier, you're saying, or no?
No.
Okay, so you just have the work phone, which if you had a cell phone, you could have your own little Wi-Fi hotspot. And you can go to those other providers like Verizon or AT&T if you're looking for a hotspot for yourself. You could try Net Zero too. I think I'm not even sure how it connects. In the old days, it would connect with a dial-up modem, and mm-hmm. you'd have a 24K or a 56K baud connection to Net Zero. Frankly, I'm still surprised they're around. But if you really want something that's more portable, that will work all the time, I would recommend looking at a Verizon or an AT&T hotspot, a cellular hotspot. I think it'll cost you $10 a month or so, and you'll mm-hmm. get 4 or 5 gigs of data per month. Are you using it for your home? Or you talked about it being portable. Like you mentioned that in your comments. Is that what you're trying to find, is a portable internet?
Yeah, and it's not for my cell phone because I don't have a smartphone. I just have one of those old flip phones. I'm looking more for my laptop.
Right, so there's two options then, too. For your laptop, you'd have that little hotspot that I just recommended, or upgrade your flip phone to a smartphone, and those devices can be a hotspot. So if you're paying for cellular now, right, you're paying some monthly cost.
Yeah.
So instead of maybe buying a separate little hotspot for $10 or $20 a month from Verizon, just upgrade your phone to one capable of being a hotspot and a phone. You can then use apps and all sorts of cool things and kind of get into the current technology and have it kill two birds. If the price is about the same, you know, if it's cheaper just to have a hotspot, then you could still do that too. But if you add them, go ahead.
No, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No, go ahead. What's your question?
Well, if I upgraded to a smartphone and had all this technology,
yeah.
I mean, would I be able to connect my computer to it?
Yes. Your phone, most smartphones these days can become hotspots. So you go into the settings of the phone and it becomes its own wireless hotspot that's just yours, Donna. And you can connect just your laptop to it.
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay.
So you can upgrade your phone and do what you want to do for your laptop at the same time and be portable.
And be portable.
Yeah.
And also, then I wouldn't even have to have a modem because my phone would be my hotspot.
You got it.
Oh, I didn't realize that. Okay, mm-hmm. that answers a lot of questions.
Yeah, it gets it all. Now you're all doing the same thing.
It does. That makes a lot of sense. So it would be AT&T or Verizon that have the better ones. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, pick your poison. Who do you use now for your flip phone?
Verizon.
Then that's where you'd go, I guess, if you like what they're doing for you.
If they like it. Okay. Yeah. Oh, that sounds great.
All right.
Yeah. Oh, that's because like I said, I saw those commercials for Net Zero, and And I said, well, do you want to use it, da-da-da. But I just really want something that I could use for my computer, which obviously would probably be a faster speed because it would be upgraded technology, yes?
Correct. And Verizon, again, you have to ask these guys when you get to see them, but I understand they have unlimited services now. So when you create your hotspot there and connect your laptop to it, for like $40 a month, there's your internet connection, whereas you're probably paying 10 or 15 now for just your dumb phone.
Yeah.
You can kill a bunch of birds with a smartphone and have unlimited internet. But ask those questions. I assume the hotspot will be unlimited too. It depends on, you know, just ask those questions. Sometimes they've got gotchas. All these companies have gotchas. Nothing's unlimited anymore. But
that's
the way I would look at it. Look at trying to kill all your birds into one device.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
Go with that.
Yeah.
All right. That answers a lot of questions. I really appreciate your help. Thank you so much.
My pleasure.
Okay. Have a great day and a great July 4th.
You too.
Okay.
Right.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. So if you're free to get online, it's still going to be here till 11 o'clock. 1-800-966-WTIC, 522-WTIC, four lines wide open. While we wait for your calls, I wanted to bring this up. I heard this on Sci-Friday on NPR. I couldn't believe I heard this. This is what's happening in California. They are paying other states to take their excess solar power. I kid you not. They're producing so much solar in California that they got to pay other states to take it or it'll overload their lines. Does that make any sense to you? Here's another part. I'll put this. This is an LA Times article. So on top of that, on top of paying other states like Arizona to take their excess power, just so you have an idea here, the way economics works is if you have an excess of something, the price goes down, right? Look at our gasoline prices. You guys, you can see this, right? Excess oil, oil's everywhere. Gasoline prices down. California has excess solar power, yet it has to pay somebody else to take it. The market's broken. It's not supposed to work that way. How is that possible? Well, on top of it off, the folks in California pay 50% more on average than the national average for electricity. So I understand everyone wants solar, free power from the sun. California's got it. They've got too much of it, and they have to pay to get rid of it, and they pay some of the highest rates. I mean, us dinglings in Connecticut pay the highest rates next to Hawaii for electricity. But California is paying 50% more for their electricity. But they have a plethora of it. So if you read the LA Times article, you'll realize where the problem lies: in their legislature. Sound familiar? So they have a goofy system over there of competing technologies and no program or plan. They even have the gall to say solar is cheaper. Well, of course it is when your electricity rates are 50% higher than everybody else's. Of course it is. But they have so much of it, they're paying other states to take it. So, again, it's a policy problem. These people we're electing, whether you're in California or in Connecticut, just can't get their act together to help us out. So I'll put a link here of this Times article. Never thought I would ever hear that we'd be paying to get rid of free power. Obviously, the solution to this is storage. They have no way to deal with when the sun is out, which is quite often in California. It makes a lot of power, and they have no place to put it. And as I told you earlier with batteries, that's a dirty job. And trying to store all this power is part of the issue. Where are they going to stick it? You can, deal with energies where you burn stuff. But when you have too much of something, it should save you money. It shouldn't cost you money. So I'll put that link up for you to read all on your own, and you can shake your head like I'm doing that right now. But we got four lines open, guys, on this Saturday morning. 1-800-966-WTIC, 522-WTIC. We'll step out for a quick break and then hopefully get to one or two of your calls before the top of the hour. We'll be right back. We are back. This is Computer Talk with Tab. The age of 11 o'clock. Let's get right to your calls. You're nice enough to join me on this Saturday morning. Let's go to Joe in Ken. Hey, Joe.
Hey, how you doing?
Doing fine. How are you?
Good. I got a question. I have a lot of pictures on my smartphone.
Yeah.
And I had Picasso, but then I went to Windows 10 like 6 months ago, and now I'm trying to put them there. But for some reason, I don't know, I used to have believe it or not, I'm kind of old school. I used to have a little thing where I put the SIM card in and plug it into my computer.
Yeah, that's still used though.
The SIM card won't work.
Okay. Well, is it an Android phone then?
Yeah, it's an Android. It's kind of a lower end Samsung. It's not a real high end one.
That's okay.
It's a decent one.
So you can use a USB cable to plug your phone right into your computer.
And okay. Yeah, I kind of did that, but it didn't seem to want to pull the photos in.
Well, you got to navigate.
Plug in where the battery is, right?
Right. Where you charge the phone, you can then plug that in and then have the USB side of it plugged into your computer. Your computer should detect it as a hard drive. You should then be able to go browse the folders on the phone.
Okay. And so it should be able to recognize it, right?
Yeah. It should recognize it as a drive, and you should be able to find the photos on your phone by kind of poking around the folders within the Android phone. And you'll be able to copy and paste them. That shouldn't be a big deal.
Okay, because I was wondering, for some reason, I thought I heard something say that you have to allow your somewhere in your phone, allow it, the computer to access it, or is that?
Well, when it connects, it's going to come up and say, "Hey, you got some device here. Is it okay to connect?" And it's going to treat it like a USB device. It shouldn't limit you. I know some of these internet phone providers want to sell you the ability to move the data up and down, even though it's your data. But when you plug it right in, I've never had an issue just simply copying and pasting. That's how
so
I put a lot of.
So you just hardwired, not wirelessly, right?
There. Yeah, hardwired. So now the phone becomes a little hard drive, like the old days when you were taking that SIM card and putting it in that reader.
Right.
What you're doing is just making the phone a hard drive for a little while, and you just browse to it. So you know how to use Internet Explorer, right?
Yeah, I do. I mean, I haven't used it in a while, but I do.
Yeah. So if you go to the little Windows 10 window there, you should be able to explore, and you'll see a new drive letter that'll appear. That's your phone. And then go ahead and browse over to the phone drive and then browse into the folders within it, and you should find your pictures.
Okay, and I should be able to put them on the computer and leave them there, right?
Yeah, you should be able to copy and paste them. Yeah.
Okay, but will it go into the old Picasso I had or not really?
Depends on where you put them. I mean, Picasso is looking for pictures within a certain folder. If you know where to put them in the Picasso program, then the answer is yes. If you just put them in a Joe directory, you know, a Joe Pictures directory, you'd have to go tell Picasso to go find them there.
Oh, I see. Okay. So I can just start a new one on the new pictures.
Yeah. And just make sure you're backing them up so you don't lose them.
Right. Okay. All right. I'll give it a shot.
It should be easy, Joe.
All right. Thanks.
You're welcome.
Yep. Take care.
Yep. You too. Bye-bye. All right. Let's move on to Paul in Ridgefield next. Hey, Paul. What's up?
That's Litchfield, but that's close enough.
All right.
As I explained, I want to take all the information on one laptop, transfer it to another laptop.
Yeah.
I remember back in the bad old days, you went to Staples or wherever and you bought this cable and blah, blah, blah.
Right.
I went to Staples. The guy doesn't know anything about what I'm talking about. And he goes, "Oh, dude, just back it up to the cloud." Okay.
Dude.
Hello, help.
Yeah. So, what you want to do, Paul, you're going to kill two birds here. Do you have an external hard drive?
Somewhere. I got one floating. Yeah, I do, actually.
Okay. So connect your external hard drive to your old machine and copy your data to it, and then plug your external hard drive into your new machine and copy it back. That'll move your data. You do have to reload your applications on the new computer, but you can move your data the way I just described. And it gives you a backup at the same time.
Okay.
Do you follow?
Yeah, I follow. Yeah, I never even thought about using my hard drive, my external.
That's okay. That's because the dude got you all confused.
Yeah, he's like, you go to the cloud, it's a piece of cake. I'm like, okay, but you know, I don't.
Yeah.
I know I do have a cloud account. You know, I guess it comes with Windows automatically, but.
Yeah, well, that's silly. Why copy your data that distance and put it up there for what reason?
Yeah.
So.
All right, thank you very much.
You got a Paul from Litchfield. All right. You know, Matt, you know, he heard Ridgefield. I don't know. He had Ridgefield on the brain. Let's go to Don in Southington next. Hey, Don.
Hi, Eric. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure. You're coming to the top of the hour. What can I do for you?
I've got a 5-year-old laptop running Windows 8.1,
okay.
And it's really slow when I boot it up.
You get it. You can get a new one. You have my permission to get a new one. It's 5 years old. Is that what you're looking for? The committee?
No.
Oh, okay.
No, I want to make it a little faster. Is there anything I can do?
It's 5 years old, so laptops, even trying to get parts for old laptops is difficult. And you might be able to add RAM to it, so you have to check the make and model to see if you can add more RAM to that laptop. You can also do some basic maintenance, like defrag the hard drive, but that's really about it. See if you have any malware on it that could be causing it to run slow. But don't spend too much money on a 5-year-old laptop. If you're going to put more RAM in there and that's going to cost you $100, just put that to a new laptop.
So, but you did mention defragging the hard drive. Is there other steps that you would normally do for a new machine to keep them running efficiently?
Half the battle is keeping malware off of it. So make sure there's no malware on it. And defragging on the new laptops is probably less and less necessary because you're going to find a lot of them have solid state drives and they're going to run so fast you don't even have to defrag them. But five years is a long time for a laptop. So really is not a whole lot of quote-unquote maintenance you can do. You can put a vacuum to the little fins in the back there and suck out any dust to try to keep it cooler, and that'll run help it run faster. But 5 years is a long time in laptops.
Okay.
All right. I give you permission to go out and get a new one.
All right. Thank you.
All right, Don.
All right, bye.
Bye-bye. Yeah, unfortunately, it's not a lot of magic. When you hear these places talk about tune-ups, run away, especially if it's a five-year-old anything. I want to thank you guys for joining me on this 4th of July holiday weekend. I want to thank Mike G for posting everything live. If you follow us on Twitter, and I always forget to tell you where we're at, we are at Tab Computer Sys. So if you want to follow us at Twitter, Tab Computer Sys is where we are. Everything's posted there. If you follow us on Facebook, it's all there. And eventually, it'll get to our website. I want to thank Matt for producing. And everything I've talked about is all posted there for you. Dr. Alessi's up next with Healthy Rounds. Have a happy and safe 4th of July. We'll see you next Saturday.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.